Good morning, church. I'm so blessed and thankful to be invited to speak to all of you this morning. What a privilege it is as well for me to celebrate 13 years of God's faithfulness here at Living Word IT Park. Praise God indeed. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Anniversaries are great because it always serves as a reminder as where we started and where we are today. We all know how good God has been in each and everyone's lives. Thank you, Lord. This morning, I've entitled our message, Respond to God's Mercy. Our text is found in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. It reads as follows. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. But Jesus responded and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Our gracious and most loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can worship you. We thank you for this opportunity that we can listen to your word. We thank you for keeping us safe. We thank you for 13 years, O Lord God, of your faithfulness in this church. Through all that the church has been through, O Lord, you have been faithful every single time. We are so thankful, O God, for all that you have done. We pray, O Lord, this morning for our government. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the politicians, O Lord, that are serving the country. We pray that you expose corruption. And we pray as well for our upcoming elections, that you will give us wisdom as your people, whom to vote for, O Lord. We pray as well for our frontliners, O Lord, as they continue to battle against COVID-19, O Lord, as they serve the country, as they serve their fellow men. And we continue to pray, O Lord God, that you keep us safe. And we pray for everyone or anyone who is going through or battling COVID right now, O Lord. We pray for your healing. We pray that they experience you, O Lord. And no matter what we are asking for, no matter what we are seeking, Lord, today, we pray that all of us will find our answers in you. And I pray, O Lord God, that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may say only the things that you want me to say. Thank you, O Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From the passage that we've just read, here's what we can see. We'll notice that many people have the same encounter and experience, but not walk away with the same change. The current pandemic is something that has impacted the lives of millions, billions of people all around the world. It has made permanent jobs, temporary. Closed businesses, shut down airports, malls. And I'm sure the pandemic has taught us so many things, so many life lessons that we've learned in the past almost 2 years. Personally, I've never had to wash my hands more in my life than during this pandemic. Alcohol is now my best friend. And I've also never spent this much time at home than ever before. We're all experiencing this together, this same pandemic year, yet have completely different responses to the pandemic than others. We all have different perspectives, but as Christians, we look to God and we ask Him what He is teaching us and to see things through His eyes. Now, the question I have for all of us this morning is this. How do we respond to difficult situations? How do we respond to challenging situations? And how we respond is so important. Now, let's go back to our passage for this morning and see what we can unpack from God's Word and apply in our lives. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says, "While he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee." Now, in our text, we see that Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. This is actually His final time and the last time that He will be heading to Jerusalem. Now, this is towards the end of His ministry and is getting closer to the Last Supper, getting closer to His crucifixion. Now, on His way there, He passes between Samaria and Galilee, and along the way, He enters a village. In verse 12, it says, "And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, who stood at a distance, met him." Now, in the Bible, leprosy can refer to a number of skin diseases. But its worst form is what we call as Hansen's disease. Since 1982, though, there has been an effective treatment to treat and kill this bacterium. But still, hundreds of thousands of people are suffering with this disease today who don't have access to this protection. Now, for us to fully understand how bad leprosy was, let me give all of us a description of the disease. It might begin with a little nodules, which go on to ulcerate. The ulcers develop a foul discharge. The eyebrows fall out. The eyes become staring. The vocal cords also ulcerate. And the voice becomes hoarse. So their voice changes. More and more ulcers grow over the years. And the average course of this kind of leprosy is 9 years. And it ends in mental decay, coma, and ultimately death. It can also begin with a loss of sensation in some parts of the body. The nerve trunks are affected, the muscles waste away, and the tendons contract until our hands, or the hands of the leprous, become like claws. They do not feel anything, so they are prone to injure themselves without even knowing it, which causes more infection. And that's what makes it so hard. It's painless, but it makes it so dangerous. Ulceration of the hands and feet, which leads to the loss of fingers and toes, the duration of this kind of leprosy can go from 20 to 30 years. And this is a very, very slow death. It can be easily transmitted by inhalation or bodily contact or even contact with clothing. Very similar to COVID times in terms of its being highly transmissible. And that's why if we notice in verse 12, it says that they stood at a distance. The disease was so bad and contagious that it could wipe out a whole population. And there was even a command given to protect people from them, found in Numbers chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "Command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp everyone with leprosy." While the physical disease, as we've heard, was horrible, the social impact of having this disease in ancient Israel added to the misery. In Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, lays out a long prescription for determining whether a person has a skin disease or not. The local health inspectors were the priests, so they were the ones to inspect someone whether they had it or not. And if you had the skin disease, you would go to a priest and you would go through a process of all that was required in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, and so that it would be known what you had. This was to check whether you were cleared from it or if you had the disease. And if you did have leprosy, you would be removed from all social contact only to associate with fellow lepers. The Mosaic law described a person to be cut off from society, including his very own family. He had to wear clothing, have his head uncovered, and cover his lips and shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" This made them so much easier to avoid. Imagine seeing a person walk away from you. Imagine others walk the other way as they see that you are in the way. You were cut off from the people that you needed in your life the most. And I believe this was one of the worst parts of having leprosy. They were separated from everyone, and they were not even allowed in the temple. They believed that they were cursed by God and cursed by men as well. Nobody wanted to associate with the lepers because nobody wanted to get the disease themselves. Anyone who got the disease would have his life completely change for the worse. They would lose everything that was important to them. But here's the thing. But when these 10 lepers encountered Jesus, everything changed. Now in Luke chapter 17 verse 13, as they met Jesus, as they were shouting, they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They raised their voices. All of them were shouting in a very loud voice, their raspy voices due to the ulcers in their vocal cords. And they said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Here's the interesting thing about this passage. Is that they knew him. They said, "Jesus." They knew him by name. They knew who he was. They have probably already heard of him or maybe seen him during his various ministries around the area. We also notice that they called him another word. They called him Master. Jesus, Master. This is very interesting because Luke is the only gospel to use the word, this same word, in addressing Jesus and every other time that it was used by what was used by his disciples or his followers. These lepers used that same word, Master, have mercy on us. Master speaks of someone with notable authority, someone with notable power. And we have to realize that this was their only hope. This was their only chance to have a second shot at life. We also have to remember that there were no cures during that time, that there were no solutions. Many of them may have been suffering for years. They were all shouting in desperation. I just want all of us to imagine being stuck on an island all on our own, and we've been there for weeks, finally seeing a boat pass by quite close to where the island is. I'm sure we would shout as loud as we can and do whatever it took for the boat to notice us. And I believe that was a similar situation with those lepers. They had nowhere else to go. What else were they going to do? And they've heard of this man Jesus healing. They've seen him. They'd heard of him. And finally, they see him walking past, enter their village. And they shout, all of them shout, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And as I've mentioned, they're shouting, Master, have mercy on us. This phrase that recognizes that one is in a pitiful condition. This is recognizing that one cannot solve the problem on their own. When you're asking for mercy, you realize that you can't solve this problem on your own. That you must depend on someone that has superior power, that has a higher power. And that's what they were saying. We're desperate. We need help. And very similar to a watch. I'm sure all of us have watches. And maybe we have a couple of watches at home that no longer work. Hey, they don't just need a battery change. They're broken on the inside. Yes, maybe it has a cracked glass. All the dials don't work anymore. And you want to have it fixed. And if we were to try to fix our watches on our own, we would end up only breaking it even more. We would end up only messing around with the watch. And I doubt we would ever fix the watch. How do we fix the watch? We go to the expert. What we need to do is we need to go to the expert who knows how to fix it. And who has all the tools he needs to fix the watch. Asking for mercy is acknowledging that we need help. That we are desperate. And we need someone higher and more powerful than us. And that's what the 10 lepers did. They were asking for mercy. They knew they could not heal themselves. And there was nothing that they can do to make themselves better. They were saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us because we need you. We are so desperate. You will see in the Bible the phrase, have mercy on us. It's commonly used for those who wanted to be healed. And you will see that all throughout the Bible. What's so interesting to me is what Jesus says when they ask for His mercy. What does He say? In verse 14, it says, "When He saw them, He said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.'" Now, this is very interesting because in the previous chapter, in chapter 5, Jesus actually healed a leper. But He healed him first before instructing him to go and show himself to the priest. Let's try to read that verse. Luke chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. "And He reached out with His hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and He ordered him to tell no one, saying, 'But go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them.'" But on this occasion, in chapter 17, Jesus asked the 10 lepers to go to the priest even without evidence of being healed. We have to remember that the priests were the health inspectors. They were the ones in charge of checking if a person was cleared from a skin disease or not. So if you knew you still had leprosy, the priest was someone that you don't want to meet, that you didn't want to go to, because you knew you could see, you would know that you still had it. But Jesus was telling them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Verse 14, let's continue. "And as they were going, they were cleansed." And in those three words, they were cleansed. God's amazing power is displayed. Sometimes if we read through this passage, we could just overlook those three words. They were cleansed. He healed all of them. Cleansed meaning completely gone, completely healed. Nothing left. No more leprosy in their body. Jesus merely told them to go and see the priest. Jesus didn't even touch their skin and heal them. He just told them to go. What's interesting is that even if the 10 lepers didn't see the result, even if they didn't see the answer to their prayers, yet they believed. They obeyed. They listened to what Jesus was telling them to do. You have to remember that they all had leprosy at that moment, which meant walking may not have been as easy as we think. Some of them maybe were crawling. Some of them maybe had lost some of their toes, some of their finger. Yet they obeyed Jesus when He told them what to do. I really like what David Platt says. He says, "My biggest fear, even now, is that I will hear Jesus' words and walk away content to settle for less than radical obedience to Him." Imagine the lepers asking Jesus for mercy and then Jesus telling them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Imagine if they didn't go. Imagine if they stayed where they were. Because it didn't make sense to them. Maybe they were battling questions. Maybe They were arguing with one another. Imagine if they didn't obey. They wouldn't have experienced God's supernatural healing that day. And sometimes I'm guilty of that as well. Every day, I ask for God's wisdom. Lord, please guide me in the decisions that I will make today. Lord, can you please lead the way? Can you please guide me today? And when God tells me where to go, I stay. I go my own way. And I don't know if that's true in your life as well, but that's a challenge that I have daily. I want to listen to His voice, and I want to obey where He leads, where He guides. When the lepers asked Jesus to have mercy on them, they listened to what He told them. No questions asked. Everything was the same with all 10 lepers at this point until the next verse. Because in verse 15, it says, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back. As they were walking to the priests, as Jesus asked them to do, one of the lepers realizes that he had been healed." All of them were. But he was the only one that turns around, goes back in his tracks towards Jesus. Imagine the implications of what he was feeling at that moment. What it meant to him to finally be healed. He could finally go back to his family, his friends, his life. All the suffering, all the pain, emotional baggage through the years were all gone. But more than the physical healing, more than getting his life back, I believe that he understood what just happened. He had an encounter with God. He had leprosy, and he was healed completely. After getting what he prayed for and asked for, he turned back towards Jesus. As he turned back, what did he say? What did he do? Verse 15, as we continue, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. With a loud voice. We need to remember that when they encountered Jesus, they were also shouting with raspy voices. But this time, as he turns back, as he was healed, he goes back to Jesus. This time he's shouting out loud, glorifying the Lord, glorifying God. What does it mean to glorify God? To glorify God is to extol His attributes and His actions, to let others know how great He is. I believe that's one reason why he was shouting, why he was so loud, glorifying God with a loud voice. I can only imagine that scene. Isn't the chief end of man to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever? Isn't that why we are here for? Verse 16, as he got to Jesus, when he arrived, as he got there, what did he do? and he fell on his face at his feet. Look at the posture that he has. Giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. He comes back not only to thank Jesus, but to worship him. He could not contain his gratitude. He could not contain his praise he had for God. The leper once kept his distance from Jesus because of his disease. Now comes up near Jesus, falls on his feet. Why? Because Jesus changed his life. The man's position on his face at Jesus' feet shows the proper attitude of humility. When we realize how merciful, how gracious our Lord is, we are humble. We realize who we are as well. And in verse, towards the end of verse 16, it says, and he was a Samaritan. Samaritans were outcast in the eyes of Jews. Samaritans and Jews did not like each other, and they did not associate with each other. Samaritans intermarried with Gentiles. So far as the Jews were concerned, it polluted their race. It polluted their religion. No one at this time would expect a Samaritan. Out of the 10, a Samaritan was the one that was healed. Yet he was the only one that came back to glorify and thank Jesus. All 10 were healed, and only one came back to glorify, worship, and thank the Lord. Jesus asks 3 rhetorical questions after that. Verse 17, Jesus responded and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Jesus was looking for the other 9. Where were they? They had no desire to worship him, no desire to thank him. They got what they wanted from him. They didn't see him as God. They were not looking for a savior, but only for someone to give them what they wanted. All 10 lepers were asking and begging Jesus for mercy, for all of them to be healed. They all were desperate. All were such in a pitiful situation. Yet, when they got what they wanted, only one came back to thank and worship him. Same situation, same experience. Yet not all responded the same. What does this tell us? I am reminded of a quote by Oswald Chambers. He says, the great difficulty spiritually is to concentrate on God. And it is his blessings that make it difficult. Troubles nearly always make us look to God. His blessings are apt to make us look elsewhere. There are far more who are likely to pray in the time of need than to praise God when he meets that need. Many times, our eyes are fixed on the gifts, that we start to forget the giver. And as you walk with God, as you walk with Christ, as you follow Him, you will realize that the greatest gift that we could ever have in this life is God Himself, is the giver Himself. Verse 18 and 19. Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, except this Samaritan? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. What did Jesus mean when he said, your faith has made you well? Jesus didn't mean just physical healing. Why? Because all 10 of them were healed. Remember, he's talking to that one leper that came back. He said, your faith has made you well. So he's not just talking about physical healing. He meant that he was made well spiritually, that he was saved, that this Samaritan man was healed physically and spiritually. This is a faith that embraces Jesus as God. This is a faith that embraces Jesus as Lord. This one man knew that he was a sinner and needed a Savior. He knew that despite of who he was and what he has done in his life, that God still showed him mercy, compassion, and kindness. The question I have for all of us is this. Are we going to be like the nine? Or are we going to be like that one leper who was healed and came back to worship Jesus at His feet? That one man asked for God's mercy to be upon him, and he responded in obedience and worship. The miracle that he did for that one man, he will do for all of us today. Now, how do we respond to God's mercy? Number one, we should see ourselves as the lepers. That all of us are unclean before God. The truth is, all of us have spiritual leprosy. We are separated from God because of our sin. We are all unclean before a holy God. Someone who thinks that they're healthy will never ask for help. We need to understand and we need to acknowledge our sinfulness. And as we do that, we should do as the lepers did. They called out to Jesus for mercy. In the same way, we call out for God's mercy. We understand that we could never heal ourselves, that there is no way that we can make ourselves better, no matter what we do. We are desperate for a Savior, a higher power, someone much more superior than us. By God's grace, He sent Jesus to die on the cross for all of our sins, so that by His wounds, we are healed. We are to humbly ask for His mercy and believe in what He has done and what He has said. We should also respond as these lepers responded. How? In obedient faith. To put our faith in Him, and because we know we are healed from the deadliest of all diseases, that's called sin. So we put our faith in Him. We put our faith in His finished work on the cross. And we listen to Him. We listen to His voice. We listen to His word. And lastly, we should respond as that one leper did. Glorify God with thankfulness, with praise, with worship. That we are all to fall at His feet in thanksgiving, in worship for all that He has done in our lives. How do you respond to difficult situations? How do you respond to challenges in your life? Let's look to God who heals us, guides us, gives us mercy, tells us where to go. And don't forget to go back to Him, to follow Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. Let's pray. O Lord in heaven, O God, we thank You, O Lord, for Your word. We thank You how it speaks truth to all of our hearts. And I pray for each and every one of us who is listening this morning, O Lord God, wherever they may be, I pray that they heard from You this morning, and I pray that they respond to Your mercy. I pray that they give their lives to You, that they acknowledge that they cannot fix themselves, that they cannot heal themselves, that they need a Savior, that they need someone higher, that they need You. And the truth is, O Lord God, that we are all desperate. We need Your mercy. We need Your love. We need Your compassion, Your kindness. We need Your grace. And You gave all of that to us, O Lord God, through what Jesus has done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Our sin separates us from You. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That by His wounds, we are all healed. Because of Your healing, O Lord, because of what You have done in our lives, we fall at Your feet in worship, in thanksgiving, in praise. And I pray, O Lord God, that we will never forget You. I pray, O Lord God, that the gifts that we may receive from You, O Lord, may not take our eyes away from You. That when we receive what we pray for, when You answer our prayers, that we never forget to thank You. We never forget to praise You. And there have been so many times, countless of times, O Lord, where we have forgotten You. And we ask for Your forgiveness, O Lord. We acknowledge our shortcomings. And we want You, O Lord God, to change us from the inside out. We love you so much, O Lord. We thank you so much for everything. You have been so good to us, so gracious to us. And we follow you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.